You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. After a month off the air, Castle is back and taking
better than ever.
Blast from the past. It's season 6, episode 20, That 70s Show. I am Tiana Hobson, sadly filling in for Paige Sullivan, who moved back home to Boston, so...
We miss you, Paige.
We miss you, but that's okay because me and Kay gonna hold it down.
That's right. Hi, guys. I'm Kate Aquilano.
We got this, Paige. Don't worry. I know you're watching to make sure we don't mess up your show, but...
I mean, we might mess it up a little bit, but it's fine.
But that's fine. It's all good. So, overall thoughts on tonight's episode, Kate?
I like when the B story of Castle and Beckett kind of moves along a little more. It was a fun episode overall. I liked it. But when's the wedding happening? That's my reaction. More wedding, blah, 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 which we'll get into. But it was good.
It was good. I thought it was fun, especially after being away for a month. This was an episode where if you've never watched an episode of Castle before, you could come into this episode and be like, you know what? I like what this guy is about.
Yeah. It was true Castle. The whole, like, he jumped into it, like, full force. He was in 70s, head to toe. I loved it.
I loved it, too. I thought it was great. Okay, so let's talk about the episode. Yeah. So, of course, like every episode, it opens on a dead body.
Dead body.
In cement. In cement, which was kind of gross. It's not even a dead body at this point. It's a skeleton. It's been, don't make me do the math, but a lot of years since this guy was dead. We find out that they poured the concrete in 1978. So, I mean, this guy died back then. We know that he's in a powder blue suit and he has pinky rings.
I love that, like, Castle sees all these little aspects. He's like, 1958, blue suit, looks like a disco suit. Da 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 da. He is Vince Bianchi. I'm like, how did you figure that out in 0.2 seconds?
Exactly.
But he's that good.
He is that good. He's like, hey, guys, who else? He's looking at them like, why don't you guys know this already?
Why don't you know about the murder in 1978 that was never solved? Very high profile.
He just disappeared, and no one ever heard from him again. So we learned about Vince Bianchi, who was a head of a mob family.
Yes.
In the 70s and was very good at his job, I guess.
He's a very good being bad man.
Yeah, being bad man. And then we cut to Detective Boyle, who's there helping with the case. I'm assuming he was an officer who worked the case back in the 70s, yep. Who was kind of catching them up. I thought at some point he would have more to do with
It was kind of like he would pop up back in the episode later on.
Yeah.
But no, he was just basically filling him in. Basically, this was the head of this family. This is the head of this family. They were rivals. They hated each other. They were going to merge. So it was all basically like an education in the 1970s mob families of New York.
And what surprise? I don't know if it's not surprising about mob families, but there's so many mob families that I thought that there was always just like one head of the mob. And apparently I was wrong about this. There are multiple families involved.
You never read The Five Families? This book that's like this thick? I'll let you borrow it. It's really good.
Because I definitely need to get caught up on my mob family knowledge.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I'll have to read it because I knew nothing about the mob watching this episode, but I learned a lot.
Yes.
I did learn a lot. We learned that Frank Russo was the last person to see Vince alive. They went to dinner the night before.
Gino's, and they actually have a picture. It's the last known picture of Vince, but he's not wearing the blue suit in it. So they're like, did he go home and change? Where did he go after this that you know, now he's dead, covered in concrete. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it gives them a push to go talk to Frank.
Yeah, and we also know that Frank ended up taking over for the family for a while.
Yep.
It didn't last very long. They didn't really go into details why he was...
He was not a good mob
boss. He was not a good mob boss, apparently. His wife's not happy that he wasn't
His wife would make a really good mob boss.
Yeah, she would.
Basically.
Basically, all the mob people in tonight's episode reminded me of the 80s. Just like, you know, with the big hair. And, yeah.
Like, I mean, they never
quite left there.
Yeah.
I felt like I was watching, what's the movie? My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, very true.
I felt yeah. very much like I was watching
and
My Cousin Vinny.
And you get those
Vinny.
Heavy accents.
Yeah, the heavy accents. I loved everything.
It was good.
But Frank, you know, he's like, no, after dinner, I took him home and dropped him off. Like, that was the last time I saw him. But Harold Leone was his advisor and, like, basically Vince's number two.
Exactly.
So he would know more than anyone.
If Vince went anywhere, Harold would know.
Harold would know.
So they go talk to Harold.
And when they get to Harold, oh, my, is this not Castle's fantasy of, like,
so
everyday
much.
Life? Harold is suffering from pathological grieving. Which basically means that he's stuck in the 70s. He's
just never moved on.
Never moved on from Vince's death. So he is not thinking outside the scope. So my question to that is, clearly he has been aging for the last 30 plus years.
I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't make sense. Okay. He has to go leave his house at some point. There is a woman that works for him that was like, washing
taking
the car,
care of him.
Taking care of him. Maybe she gets the groceries. But he basically stays in his house that's still, like, in 70s decor, watching, like, a 70s TV show on, like, this, like, huge box
TV. Yeah, he's watching
TV.
Archie Bunker.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know how he, I mean, you just look out your window and you know it's not 1978.
Yeah, you see, you know, the cars going by. You see kids on the street playing. Well, I guess kids don't play on the streets anymore because of
true.
Video games. So
that's
true. Another sign, you know, where are all the kids? I don't know. It was just, it's hard to believe that he could go this whole time without actually thinking.
I think he knows, but to not have, like, the pain of dealing with this, like, tragic event, he tricks him. I mean, he just does it because it's easier.
I mean, the dead giveaway. I mean, I haven't been alive as long as he has, but clearly he was not always that size and that age, you know. So
he probably had more hair back in the day.
You wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you're, you know, 15 years older looking than the decade says you should be. I think maybe that's a sign, but
he was obviously ignoring that.
He's obviously ignoring that. But I loved his interactions because he totally, I mean, the 70s, equal rights for women, man.
I know. And I just looked Kate's face the whole time because, you know, they didn't take women seriously. And so her being like this authoritative detective is just like not possible in his head. So Castle's the captain now.
Captain Castle.
And the faces she makes when he calls her, like, cupcake and, like, I can't believe you're letting
Sweetheart.
Her, like, boss you around. She's just, like, can't. She's, like, doing everything in her power not to blow up on this guy.
Yes, but he does come with information. He says he knows who killed Vince.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to, because Kate kind of slips out of her 70s, lingo for a minute there. He wants to see the body before he talks because he thinks he's being set up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the station, Espo and Ryan are doing the cutest thing ever.
I love them. Everyone knows that they're my favorite part of the whole
show.
They're
amazing. They're watching an old documentary on some badass cops from back in the day called Snooki Watts and Ray Price, which the names alone are priceless.
I love it.
Gems. And these two work for the anti-crime unit, and Snooki is the cool cop who slides on the hood of the car, and they call their car, you know, old red. And
it's Red Rocket.
Oh, Red Rocket. That's what it was.
It's even worse. But they're, like, watching this, and it's just, they're so cute.
They're so cute. You know, of course, Ryan's kind of like, dude, are you really into this right now? And Espo's just eating it up. He's like,
yes. I love this.
And I was And I actually thought that in the documentary, I thought that was the actors who play Espo and Ryan when I first saw it. I had to rewind. Actually,
the guy that plays Ray Price with the longer hair that Ryan eventually dresses up at, he is, have you ever gone to a taping of Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
If you ever go to a taping of Jimmy Kimmel, he is the audience.
He's the producer. Hype man?
He's not the hype man, but he's like the audience producer. So he like brings you in, tells you the rules, but he wants to be an actor. Like he was in 42. He just did a guest spot on NCIS. I always recognize him because I've been to Jimmy Kimmel's taping so many times. I don't know. Look him up. You'll find
him. That's cool. No, I love these little fun facts.
Fun fact.
Well, Lainey has some information for us. The victim was killed by multiple gunshot wounds. There was an exit wound through the abdomen. And when the body was...
This is confusing. I had to rewind. I was like, wait, how did they get this mold of a body?
Of the whole body, which is how they know that the bullet wound came out of the abdomen. So when the body was
originally put in the cement.
You know, they pour the cement over, so it created a mold.
Mm-hmm. So then his body decayed, and it just eventually went to bones, but the mold was still there in the cement, and they made a mold of they poured rubber in there and made, you know.
Made a whole body. A
whole body. And so, boom, they have their body to show Harold, so get in, you know, put some makeup on, put some hair on the rubber body, and there you go. There's Vince.
And this, of course, is all Castle's idea. He's like, Lainey, you got to get into it. You got to dress up. Lainey definitely delivered.
The Foxy Brown Halloween costume was amazing. And when Espo sees her, he loses his train of thought.
He's very distracted by Lainey's extra friends.
Yeah. Let's say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She looked hot.
She looked good.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, Lainey should dress like this every day of her life on this show.
I love it.
Just saying. So they bring him in, they bring Harold in to see the body, and he notices right away that there's the coin from Coney Island that Vince never...
He always had it with him
because it was for luck, as he says. As they're walking out, Beckett notices a suspicious-looking doctor walking down the hallways.
Of course she does. She's that good.
Yeah, she's that good. And, of course, you know, he opens fire, tries to kill
that
Harold.
That caught me off guard. I was like, whoa, what just happened? But apparently someone hired a hitman to kind of take out Harold.
You know, TV shows, especially cop ones, they seem to always at some point have a shooting inside the precinct. And I'm just wondering, how common is that?
I don't think it's very common.
I don't think it's common
because
at all.
Because why would you shoot in a place where there's like hundreds of cops?
It just doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Because then, you know, Castle takes Harold home. Mm-hmm. Harold's complaining the whole time, like, what kind of precinct are you running down there? Like, so I almost lost my wife. But then he says, I'll give you my confession, but we have to go back down to the station I feel safer with a bunch of cops around than I do here. I was like, but you were just shot at.
You were shot at where all the cops are. I don't know.
So, Harold, again, not making too much sense.
This long-term depression grieving thing is just messing with his head.
Yeah, so now they're stuck with, you know, oh, well, our tech friend. What's her name again?
Tori/Geek Girl. That's how she is in my name.
Yeah, Geek Girl. She traces the shooter's... Doctor. Steps and finds him on the street where he takes his mask down, so they know what he looks like.
But no one really knows who he is. They kind of ask the families, and they don't recognize him.
Yeah, so we're kind of left out to dry with that.
A little stopping point on that lead.
On that lead for now. But Harold wants to confess, so now Castle has to pitch Beckett the idea of transforming the entire station into a 70s cop.
And you knew she was going to give in. So apparently Captain Gates was somewhere.
She was not
there.
At a conference for anti-terrorism.
And so Beckett, being the ranking officer, was in charge. So he has to convince her to let him transform the whole precinct back into the 70s. So that's like taking all the computers away, attire, like just everything. So Harold thinks it is not in the 70s. And so he calls in his mother to help. Because in the beginning of the episode, she takes a little bit of the wedding planning in her own hands and takes it a little too far. And to help, you know, ease the pain of, you know, letting her down on planning an aspect of the wedding, they say, you can do this. You can make this happen. You're so good at plays and theaters. This is just going to be a huge production of a 70s show. And she takes it to the extreme.
Of course. And what I found funny about Castle in this episode, you know, for him to say, Mom, this is too much.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, you must really be doing too much, because Castle is known for his theatrics and going over the top with everything. So I thought it was kind of funny and also kind of hypocritical of Castle to be like, Mom, I mean, no, with the flowers.
Yeah.
But I thought she did a great job with the 70s thing. She brought in actors.
Scripts. I laughed so many times during this scene, because when they're reading the scripts and, like, it must have said, like, slam fist and cat. Beckett was like, forgot, and there's like a pause, and then she goes like this. Like, it was just, there's so many good aspects to this scene.
I actually want to go back and watch that scene again. It was just funny. Because there's so many little conversations happening and little, you know, backwards conversation. You know, Alexis is there dressed as a prostitute or like a runaway child. I love that.
She's like wearing a halter top, and she's like, what? They were popular in the 70s.
Yeah. And Castle's like, I mean, just cover up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I thought that whole scene was fun. But when Harold gets in there and we see that Espo and Ryan have dressed up as Snooki and Ray, he wants them to take his statement instead of Beckett and Castle, which seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Except that they didn't do all their research, because they kind of thought they were just going to walk through.
Yeah.
So there were a couple times in there where it was looking sketchy.
Harold's like, so what happened when you caught that dude or this dude? And they're like, they're kind of like, don't know what to say. And then Ryan just goes like full character. So he wasn't really into it as much as Espo was. But then he goes like full character Ray Price and like delivers this huge like rant. And he's like, but we want to hear your story.
And I love that, because everyone assumes that Espo would have been the one to really get into it and know his stuff and be able to pull something out of his butt to, you know, convince Harold that they are the real deal. And I love that it was Ryan, because sometimes he's such a stick in the mud that it's nice to see him kind of
let loose a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also Espo's fault, because he forgot to silence his cell phone. So his cell phone starts ringing right as Harold's about to give them the information that they need.
And I'm just like, wait, are you really forgetting? So, like, the cell phone rings and he kind of goes blank, because he's like, what is that noise? Mm. And I'm like, is this really happening, or are you just, like, playing this part?
Yeah.
And I don't know. But he doesn't tell them anything, because he loses his train of thought, because what is a cell phone?
Yeah. All he kept saying was that it had something to do with Glitterati, which was a nightclub in the 70s, which just conveniently still happens to be open, and it's been through a couple transformations. But you know what's the luck?
It's a disco nightclub. It's a disco
club now. So what are the odds?
I mean, perfect.
I mean, perfection.
Perfect.
But before they can actually get away to Glitterati,
Captain Gates
walks back in. And I waited the entire episode. I was like, of course she's going to walk in the middle of like the craziest moment right now.
It was great.
It was great. So, of course, she's like, what's going on? I leave town. You guys are
what are you doing to my case? Yeah.
What are you doing letting Castle actually have a say in anything while I'm gone?
Let him have free reign is never a good idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, Beckett and Castle have to kind of talk her down and be like, well, you know, he has this thing. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, well, I want to talk to Espo and Ryan. They're like, oh, they actually took him to the disco.
So you can't. And they're still in their 70s attire.
Yes. Well, luckily for them, though, the guy from the shooting was picked up at a New Jersey toll because, you know, his picture had been sent out.
Yeah, solo.
Yeah, so they caught him. They bring him in for questioning. He doesn't want to talk.
They found the gun in his car door panel.
Yeah, the bullets are going to match.
So he's starting to realize, like, ooh, I might not be able to get away with this. Because he's been connected to, like, six other shootings and assassinations, but he's never been, like, convicted. So he's starting to realize, ooh, they might get me.
They might get him. And Castle happens to be flipping through his cell phone, looking at pictures, finds photos of Vince in his baby blue suit.
Yep.
at Glitterati on multiple occasions. So clearly this is the suit he wears when he goes.
The blue suit.
Which I think is so funny because the 70s were just such a different time. It's like, yeah, you have that one suit. Okay, this is my Glitterati suit.
Yeah, so. And he's a mob boss, so he's like dressing nice, you know? Like he should have like multiple disco suits.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to wear the same outfit every week.
The blue suit was his favorite. The
blue suit was his thing. So they know that Vince was definitely at Glitterati. Glitterati. They think that it's Frank Russo who killed him. Mm-hmm. So they have to call Espo and Ryan and be like, hey, where is Harold right now? They're like, oh, he just went away. They're like, it's Frank. You got to stop him.
Yeah.
We find Harold has disarmed the security guard.
Harold had it in him.
Harold grabs a bottle of champagne and whacks this guy. Yeah. Grabs his gun before he even hits the floor and he's has it pulled on Frank. Like, that's legit mob boss assness.
He was the number two. He has skills.
He did have skills.
And he thinks that Frank Russo killed Vince. So he just says, why? You know, like, admit to it. I know you did it. And that's when Ryan and Espo come in and they're like, drop the gun. You know, we'll take care of this. And they just bring them both back to the precinct.
Yeah. And this is where it all gets uncovered. We finally learn what happened to poor Vince. Harold says that he was supposed to meet up with Vince after later that night. Vince said, I want to meet up with you. I have something important to tell you. He never showed up. So that's when Harold started driving around looking for him, went to all the normal spots, even went to Glitterati. And there's a sign on the door that said closed for private event.
Yep.
And then when Vince never showed up and was missing, he knew that it had something to do with Frank because, you know, he thought he was in there murdering him.
So then go over to Frank Russo's room when he's getting interrogated, and he says, which is kind of a shocker, that the private event was booked by Vince, but he didn't kill him, and he thought it was something romantic because Last Dance, which was supposedly a very romantic song back in the 70s, was playing. So he thought, you know, something, you know, romantic was going to be happening, and he says that he was going to marry Michael Carcano's sister.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the Carcanos.
Yeah, well, the Carcanos own the cement that...
Because apparently in the 70s, the mob all owned different cement companies and our cement portions, and the cement that
Vince was in
was owned by the Carcanos, which was a big rival family.
Right. And so Vince was supposed to marry his sister because it was a merging of the families. Like, it had to be a hush-hush because if the other families knew that they were going to merge, it would have created, a war. Yeah, hoopla. So he was marrying his sister, and then they asked, well, who is his sister? And it ends up being Frank Russo's wife.
Which, what?
I had no idea.
I didn't like her. Yeah, I was like, I didn't like her, but I also loved the character of her. She definitely stuck out in my head. I remembered her for small tidbit that we got of her.
Yeah.
So, but I did not see that one coming. But it turns out Vince was supposed to propose to her that night and do something romantic, but he couldn't actually go through with it. And as he was walking out, she shot him in the back and then shot him again. And then her brother covered it up because he didn't want to start a war because, you know, they killed the head of the family. And Harold and Vince were in love. And Vince was saying no to the girl so that she could go. He could tell Harold that.
But Harold knew that, and he had the same coin that they had from Coney Island, but he was the one that actually told Vince that he had to get married because if anyone found out about the two of them, it would kind of ruin him, and he was happy being the number two. But, like, finding out that Vince couldn't go through with it probably meant a lot to him.
It definitely did, and so he had to say goodbye somehow. Yeah.
But the thing is, they really couldn't prove that Frank Russo's wife did it until Robert Decker, the hitman, turned on her and said, you know, she hired me, so she obviously wanted to keep it secret.
Yeah.
So,
which bit her in the butt because no one knew that she was involved. Nope. Harold was just down at that precinct to identify a body.
Yeah. Not, he wasn't really
not to talk,
spilling
not to
anything else.
I mean, he also thought it was her husband who did it. So,
yeah.
I mean, she would have been in the clear. Sometimes you just shouldn't mess with things. I know. Don't poke the bear while it's sleeping.
Well, she poked and now she's in jail.
And they have a great little 70s party to kind of say goodbye, because we also learned that Harold, as soon as he got shot at in the precinct, it kind of woke him up from
his
dazedness. So he was kind of playing them this whole time to get close to Frank, because that's who he thought killed him. So ultimately, they go and have a disco party to kind of let go of the 70s and say goodbye.
It was a cute scene.
It
was a little weird that Captain Gates was there.
I love that Gates and Harold were both on the dance floor and dancing by themselves, just living life. It's
very convenient that Mars is there and Alex is there and everyone's there. Tori was there dancing with Lainey. I was like, wow, this is like a little reunion.
Ooh, and did you see the way Espo was going over to Lainey?
I mean, she looked hot again. Just get back together.
Just do it already, guys.
It makes me mad.
I mean,
they love each other so much.
They do. They should just get up there with Castle and Beckett and make it a double wedding.
Maybe.
Ooh, that could be a good prediction.
But
yeah, so basically that was the... let's just get into predictions.
Let's do it.
You're After Buzz TV.
Good job, Steven. Is that not what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You did.
That was perfect.
It was perfect, Steven. So what are your predictions?
My prediction, I mean, it's same thing every week, but this time I hope it's true, because there was not a lot of wedding stuff in episode. There was like a tiny, tiny piece in the beginning. So we only have two more episodes left. So I think that this wedding planning, maybe they're going to push the wedding to next season.
Oh my gosh, don't do that.
But if there's going to be a wedding in the finale, there needs to be some decisions. I need, like, bridesmaids' dresses with Alexis. I need flowers. I need venue. I mean, I don't even know if they've sent out invitations, so I don't know how this wedding's going to come about.
Knowing them, they have it, and it'll be, like, a spur of the moment.
It's going to be, like, a text message. Like, show up here at this time. Yeah. But we'll see.
So the teaser for next week kind of teases that, you know, someone tries to take out Castle. Mm-hmm. The show's called Castle. We know he's not going to die.
No.
So stop trying to tease us with that.
You know, but I'll still be on the edge of my seat being like, oh, my God, how does he get out of this?
Like, oh, my God, is he going to get shot? Is this going to delay the wedding? I don't know.
It's going to delay the wedding.
No, they can't push the wedding over to next season because, honestly, it's just too much. You can't drag it out long and then the whole season
has
been this wedding.
They're just going to elope. Because nothing's happening, and they're going to, like, he's going to almost die, and they're going to realize life is too short, and they're just going to go get married.
They're going to get married at the hospital bed.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, guys, make sure you let us know what you think. You can, if you're watching our podcast on YouTube, make sure you leave a comment below. Tell us what you think is going to happen for the next two episodes.
Definitely.
The finale's also almost here. If you're on YouTube, make sure you go over to iTunes and rate and subscribe to our podcast there. Give us 5 stars, tell us what you like and what you don't like, and then give us 5 more stars just because we're us. Yeah, always 5 stars. So in the meantime, make sure you tweet us on social media. Kate, where can they find you?
Me on Twitter at Kate Aquilano. What about you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson, and you can find AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. We do over 70 shows a week here, so there's bound to be something else that you like, and make sure you tell a friend about us, because that's all that we ask of you. And until next week, we will see you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.